Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms 62. Psalm 62. There's a word that we find at the end of certain verses in the Psalms, and also in the book of Habakkuk, that carries great significance. And the word is Selah. And looking up the word, I think most commentators will agree that it's a word that is hard to interpret. It was originally put, I thought at first by just reading it, that it was put there by the translators. No, it was part of the original. But some of the definitions of the word means to lift up or to raise your voice higher, like in a song. It seems to be a musical word. But it means also to pause in order to emphasize. It's a word that tells us to weigh or to value what we've just read. And it gives us instruction to give special attention to what we're considering are rejoicing in. I looked this up. There's 2,461 verses in the Psalms. And in all those verses, the Holy Spirit was pleased to place the word Selah in those verses in the book of Psalms 71 times. And in the book of Habakkuk, 3 times. Now, I know that every verse, every word spoken by God, recorded in God's word, is of the Lord. They're all God-breathed. And every word in God's scriptures, God's spoken. The scripture says, according to Hebrews 4:12, they're quick. That means they're alive. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. Psalm 138:2, the scripture declares, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That passage of scripture right there just grips me. The Lord has magnified his word above his very name or character. Oh, the weightiness of the Word of God. So we know from these scriptures that God's Word, everlasting, heaven and earth are going to pass away, but not the Word of God. These words that we read in these scriptures are the very words by which we're going to be judged. This word right here, what we're hearing. Listen, Frank Tate wrote something, an article. No, he didn't. He wrote me a text. And he told me, he said, Marvin, he said, I'm often reminded how serious we ought to be concerning preaching and hearing the Word of God. This life is going to be over. This life's going to be over. In light of eternity, forever. We're just a blip on the grand scale of eternity. We're here just a moment. Vapor. That's what Scripture says. This is going to be over. And I know this in my head for sure. Lord, help me to know this in my heart. I best give heed to what this book's got to say. I want to hear and I want to know what God has to say. Now, considering the seriousness of God's Word, 66 books, the seriousness of it, over 70 times, and in the book of Psalms and in the book of Habakkuk, the Spirit of God has exhorted us to pause, to weigh, and to silently value what we just heard. Of all the scriptures of which God has taken all His Word and has magnified His Word above His name, I think. But then that the Spirit of God would say, concerning what you just read, you be silent and you meditate on what you just heard. He's saying this to us. Well, let me just say, especially to me, who's so prone to read something and just glaze over it. You ever done that? Just read something and then you go back and just say, I don't even know what I just read. I need to go back and read that again. I can read that, get into the genealogy and the names, and I just kind of, you know, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? Today, I'd like for us to consider one time that the Spirit of God was pleased to especially mark a passage of Scripture. It's found in Psalm 62. I'm just going to just look at verses 5 to 8. And if you're looking in verse 62, you'll see there at the end of verse 4, it says, Selah. There was something said right there, that 1, 2, 3, 4, Selah. But then he said in verses 5 through 8, there was another one, another Selah, that was especially marked. I'd like for us just for a minute, let's just stop and just pause and pray truly. Lord, forgive me for what I've done and what I sadly admit I will do again. But Lord, if it please you, would you just give me just a moment and let me just hush and listen to what you have to say, and where you have especially marked a passage of Scripture. Lord, grant that I might do so by your good pleasure today. Verse 5. My soul. Now this is that which is eternal. This is what's going to live forever. My soul. Wait. Be still, be astonished with amazement and admiration. Wait thou only upon God. For my expectation, for my cord of security, my ground of hope, and my outcome. Now listen, is from Him. David, like all believers, is speaking to himself. A believer knows something of the necessity of being honest with himself. Let's just be honest. We don't know the heart of another, but I know something about me. And so David says, my soul, that which is going to be forever, that which is imparted by the grace of God, regenerating grace, my soul, wait thou. You wait. What is? Be silent. Be quiet. Be silent. Pause. Be quiet in a spirit of submission only upon God. Now listen. If I don't trust only upon God, then I'm not trusting Him at all. If I don't trust only in Him, then I've got something else. Lord, help me to trust You only. And forgive me for failing to do so. Do you know what I just realized? I need to be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. I need His righteousness. Because Fred, mine's not going to stand. He did always only those things that pleased His Father. The Father said of Him on the Mount of Transfiguration at His baptism, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. You hear Him. Lord, cover me. Lord, atone for me. Lord, robe me in Your righteousness. Because I know something. I know something of the bent of my old man. That old man that is always desiring to be free from the only anchor that a sinner has. The only foundation, the only hope, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're ever tempted by the body of this death, that old man, that old nature, to look and to trust anywhere else for security, for comfort, for reliance. I'll look. Just give me something to look at. I'll trust You. I'll trust my bank account. I'll trust my health. I'll trust the government. I'll trust my soul. Wait only upon God. For my expectation, again, my cord of security is from Him. Only a believer in Christ desires to use language like that. Because the world, like I said, looks to itself, looks to its will, looks to its works. But a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ by that new man. There's a new man there. And he says, as the Apostle Paul says, to will is present with me. Let me ask you this, you that know him. Don't you want to wait only on the Lord? Only upon him. My soul, wait only upon God. Because I know this concerning my salvation. He is my only salvation. And I know that it's by grace that I've been saved. If the Lord saved me, it's been by the grace of God. Through faith, I believe him. Not of works. The gift of God, not of yourself. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. My life, my salvation. That's what he said in verse 6. He's my rock and my salvation. The scripture declares truly concerning salvation. I know we think about it as being a position. It's a state, and that's true. It's a person. It's a person. What did Simeon say when he held the babe, Christ Jesus? Lord, let me go in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. A person. And technically, truthfully, we've been saved. That's what 2 Timothy 1:9 says. Who has saved us and called us. Saved us. That which God purposes is eternal. The counsel of the Lord stands. He saved us. And we're being saved right now. How? Being kept by the power of God through faith. We're being saved. And then we're going to be saved. Matthew 25:34. Enter in. Beloved of the Lord. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. So, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectations from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be moved. He only is my rock. If I am founded upon that which is stable, enduring, then I'm founded upon him who is the rock. That rock that was smitten, Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, said, and that rock was Christ. He is my only salvation and defense, exclusively. He's the fortified refuge. I mean, everything just appears as though to me, everything I see right now that's going on around me looks like it's just falling to pieces. Nothing seems stable to me. Not in this country, not my family. He only is my where else am I going to go? Where am I going to go? He's my rock, my salvation, my defense. And by the grace of God, I shall not be moved. I shall. I don't have anywhere else to go. I will not be moved. From what? From Him. From Him. Paul the Apostle said, "For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." I'm persuaded. The Scripture declares, in God. That word is Elohim. Elohim. And it's plural. It's a plural word. In God, in the triune God, in God is my salvation and my glory. That's what he said. Verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. He's the object of my glory. He's the foundation of the one in whom I boast. He is my dignity before God, robed in His righteousness. He's the rock of unyielding strength, an impenetrable hardness. And I flee to Him. He's my shelter of safety. I don't have any in myself. I don't know. What am I going to do? I have Him. David declared that the Lord was his salvation, deliverance, and everything that was honorable and glorious was in Him. That's what he said. And he rejoiced that the God of all grace was his God. Verse 8, trust in Him at all times. Trust in Him at, I love that word, all. Trust in Him at all times, you people. And pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Trust in Him. You know, the only way I can trust in Him, turn with me to Romans 10, Romans 10, 13. The only way I can trust Him, the only one I can trust is one that I know. If I don't know somebody, I don't know if I can trust you. I mean, if you don't know them, how are you going to trust them? Look at Romans 10, 13, 14. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul to say, how then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Eternal life. This is eternal. This is life eternal. The Lord said this. That they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. You know, you can't trust somebody if you don't know them. And God's going to have to teach me who He is. Trust in the Lord. How do I know Him? Right there. Spirit of God. Trust Him for your temporal need. The Lord knows that you have need of all these things. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, where you're going to live, shelter, clothing. The Lord knows that. We trust Him, Romans 8, 38. We trust Him for our eternal need. Romans 8, 38, 39. Now listen, here's a promise. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Now you know what he just said pretty well covered it all. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. David said, trusted him at all times. The one that has taught you who he is. That he's God, the rock, salvation, refuge. Trust in him. Who? I said it a while ago. That word, that name, that title, God, is plural. It's a plural word. You trust in the Father, who, according to his covenant mercy, chose to show you mercy. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. Trust him. Trust him. Wait on him. Trust in the Son who has lived for us, establishing righteousness, who bore our guilt in his own body, and willingly laid down his life and put away our guilt, the guilt of all the sheep. Trust him. Trust him. And the Spirit of God that crossed our path and through these scriptures being preached, regenerated us in power and grace and made us willing in the day of that power, and has taught us and sealed us and led us. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him in times of laughter. Trust him in times of sorrow. But trust him right now. Because you can't trust him yesterday. And you can't trust him tomorrow. But you can trust him today. Pour out your heart before him. Like water. Just tell him. He knows. Just tell him. Lord, help me. Lord, pour out your mercy. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I don't want to promise you that I won't do that again, because I don't want to lie to you. And I'm so ashamed to have to say it, but Lord, help me. God is a refuge for us. I'm so thankful for that word, us. There's a remnant. There's a remnant according to the election of grace. There's a people that God is going to save. Paul the Apostle said, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, God has left us a remnant. And if he hadn't, we'd all been like Sodom and Gomorrah, obliterated. He's a refuge for us. And he's not going to leave us to ourselves. He has revealed to us that we are his bride. That he's loved and betrothed us to himself. And has called us, preserved us, and he shepherds us. All of us, who the scripture says in that great final book of the scriptures, who came out of great tribulation. What is that? This world right now. We're in it. We're in it. Great tribulation. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The us who for Christ's sake have been made to come through afflictions and trials and persecutions of this world, that we might learn to trust him. And also behold the sufficiency of his grace. Now, Selah. Selah. Just stop for just a minute. And be silent and meditate upon that which the Spirit of God has said. And may we be made quietly to remember with a thankful heart that which God, for Christ's sake, has been pleased to teach us. I was going over these notes this morning. And I got to thinking about that thief on the cross. He heard only, as far as I know, I don't know, but I know that he heard the words of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I know that there were some things that the Lord said from the cross. But I know this. That thief was hanging there, and he was getting ready to leave this world. Now let me ask you what he had. He had the Lord. My soul, wait only upon him. Where else was he going to go? Wait only upon God. Trust only in him. He is my salvation. Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, would you remember me? Verily, I say unto thee, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Buddy, can you imagine the rejoicing of that needy sinner? There's my refuge right there. I pray God bless this to our hearts for his glory and our good.